So you want to get us started on the agenda?
No, you're muted.
Unmute. Okay. Okay, welcome everyone. We will do a roll call. You want to start, Doretta?
Doretta Smith.
Janelle Goplin, and then in the room.
Aaron Bretz.
Robert Eamond.
Araceli Guevara.
Igmar Gobel.
We have Councilor Gobel here, who was whispering over in the corner of the room, but he's good. Derek Tokos, city staff, and...
Jerry Marinell, city staff.
Fantastic.
Wonderful. Well, thanks everybody for actually being here. It really helps. Let's see.
Do we have a quorum?
I believe we do.
Yes, we have a quorum.
We'll move to approval of the minutes. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes?
I reviewed the minutes and I move that we approve them.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay. And then we're going to our first discussion item, which is to review and discuss the stakeholder outreach opportunities for Bayfront parking management rollout. Derek, the floor is yours.
Thank you. So one of the things I want to cover with you is a just an FAQ we put together. It's version one. Expect it will go through some changes. Talk to you a little bit about some other information we need, because we will need other information. You can only fit so much on an FAQ. There'll be others that we need for kind of targeted group outreach. And then, again, speak to kind of the who all we need to reach out to and talk a little bit about the time frame. So for those of you online who don't have the benefit of the copy of the FAQ, I'm going to go ahead and put it up on the screen, and then I'd appreciate it, even if you don't have a chance to provide much in the way of feedback today, if you could just take a look at it, and if you have comments you'd like to share, just send them to me individually so I can pick them up. So I'm going to go ahead and do a shared screen so you can see the FAQ. Okay, so this is just a little FAQ we put together with a series of common questions we expect we'll have. And then on the back is a map, I'll flip to it, that shows the paid and permit parking areas. So again, the first question here is, what's the city's plan for managing parking along the Bayfront? So what are we doing? And then that's where we speak to, establishing a paid parking, paid permit time parking areas. And then ties back to a parking study that the city completed with stakeholder input in 2018 and was formally adopted in 2020. Then the question would be, why install pay stations and charge for permits? That's where we get into kind of the purpose of what we're trying to accomplish, which is the parking pay stations and electronic permits. The purpose is to increase vehicle turnover in high demand areas so that more parking is available to Bayfront users. This will reduce congestion and improve public safety. The current 4-hour time limits by themselves have proven to be ineffective. For much of the year, available parking is over 85% utilized, meaning it's functionally full. Users cannot find a place to park, which leads to congestion, frustrated drivers, and vehicles being parked in an unsafe manner. So what's our plan? And that's where I attached the map to the back. It's a little bit hard to try to explain it all in just a few sentences. But then note that locations and pricing of the paid and permit parking areas along the Bayfront are depicted on the map in the back. Note that electronic permits will be available for purchase online through the City of Newport website. That is not yet up and running. That's one of the things we're working with T2 on at this point. Persons in paid parking areas will be able to pay by phone using text-to-pay option, or they can use one of the 10 pay stations that the city will be installing. The locations of those pay stations are on the map. And then the pay stations will include coin, credit card, and coupon code functionality. Which parking areas will this apply to? We expect we'll have some questions on that because it's not this is public parking areas along the bayfront. They will not apply to private lots and Port of Newport parking areas. When will the changes go into effect? While a specific date has not been set, the plan is to put the new rules in effect in mid-October, when the pay stations will only be active on weekends. The city will be resurfacing parking lots along Bay Boulevard and installing new regulatory and parking signs prior to the implementation date. That work will begin in mid-September. How will this impact parking enforcement? Well, the city will provide a break-in period of at least 30 days to help educate users about the new rules. They will only be issued warnings during that time period. We talked about that. The city's hired a new parking enforcement officer who will be using license plate recognition technology to efficiently identify vehicles parked in violation of the city's parking rules. And then who do I contact to learn more about upcoming changes? And in there, they have contact information for our office. And I also put a note in here that they're welcome to attend the parking advisory committee meetings, which are typically the third Wednesday of the month, although not this particular one. And then it goes on to the map on the back, which I simplified, took all the aerial background busyness out so you can just really see the lots. I might widen out the permit zone boundaries a little bit so it's easier to see the street designations, I was thinking. But I really did try to simplify it a little bit. Yes.
Would it help if you did this over one of the GIS maps that shows what's the word I want? Sorry, it's been a long day. You know what I mean? That doesn't show the street, that shows the buildings, and what's the word I want?
Aerial?
Overlay?
Yes, thank you. That's the word I want. Thank you very much.
I pulled the aerial out just to try to simplify it and make these areas pop. When we do the aerial, it makes it a little trickier to see the boundaries. That was my thinking.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on other thoughts on the map or the questions?
I did have go on.
No, please go ahead.
Okay, I had a question of when under the section why install the paying, do we want to bring up the idea that some of the money is going toward maintenance of the parking lots and the streets? Because people always like to see where their money's being spent. It's just a thought. I know there's not a lot of room on the front page, so you got to cut somewhere. But maybe that's something to try to squeeze in if we can.
Okay, no, I appreciate it.
If there's a way you could just scroll up so that we can read that section as well, I did have a few more suggestions as well.
Absolutely. There you go, Janelle. How's that?
Yeah, thank you.
Eric?
Yes?
Just to let you know, Bill Brannigan joined the meeting.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, I had a system crash. I had the blue screen of death I had to fix.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
But it's fixed.
So, Janelle, did you have some comments?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what they were. I think in the first one on the why install, the pay to park, when you say the current 4-hour time limits by themselves have proven to be ineffective,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that the reality of that also is that because there hasn't been a parking enforcement officer. So I don't know, do you want to say anything about that?
Yeah, even with the parking enforcement, though, it wasn't working well because we actually did have it when we did the study. I'm wondering if I just get rid of that sentence, frankly, because that might free up some room to get Robert's comment in, because I don't know how much that really adds anything when I think about it.
Because the second sentence covers it. It's just full, right?
For much of the year.
Yeah. I agree. I think you don't need that.
Yep.
Are we on the proposed MNC changes?
No, we're not, Bill. We're looking at FAQ that I put together that we would be using for some of the outreach work. And it
wasn't something
that was available in the packet, so that's why I have it on the screen. Folks who are here have a hard copy of it.
Ah, okay, I got it.
Are there any questions I'm missing that you can think of? I realize with, for example, commercial fishing folks, I'm going to need to maybe do something slightly different because we have that invitation to electronic permit concept for them. We have, as I recall, what we'll be doing is allowing them to purchase a certain number of codes that they can provide to folks who will be working on their vessels.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's kind of unique to them. And so I didn't think the general FAQ was the right spot for that.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea, I think. And also, to really be clear on that fourth question, which parking areas will this apply to? They have a tendency to sort of lump everything all together instead of recognizing that there are port lots and then there's the city parking spaces, and this affects one but not the other, I think.
Is there some change in the language you think I would make?
In the application, like when we go to do the...
Oh, okay.
Because we have to have...
You just want to emphasize that point.
Yeah.
I see where you're going from. Okay.
I think Doretta has a...
Derek, I've mentioned this before, but I've had a couple, three people... ask about, well, what happens when I just want to go buy fish off of one of the fishing vessels? Where am I going to park, and am I going to have to pay a fee?
Well, if you're going down you would be parking at if you're going down when they're in operation, so, you know, say during the summer, and you're popping down there, then yeah, you would have to feed the meter if you're going to be parked there for any period of time.
Yeah, I would refer them to the loading zone requirements. And get them familiar with because the loading zone times are actually fairly long.
Yeah, that is something. Yeah, the loading zone piece is the other one to point out. Remember, what we'd agreed upon is that the loading zones on the west side are going to be 60 minutes. That's what we agreed upon.
Yeah, so loading zone.
So they could pop into the loading zone, run down, grab the fish, come back.
I think we should make it user-friendly. You know, I think the FAQ should be, and if you're here to get your fish, pop in, you got 30 minutes to do it or whatever, and you don't have to pay the meter.
The key to that's going to be effective enforcement, because we've already got that down there. Mm-hmm. And, like, I just got a couple people that came in complaining about the loading zones and lack of – and obviously this isn't in effect yet, but it's just something to keep in mind. Moving forward, enforcement, and especially on those areas, is going to be important.
Yeah, that's something I'll pass on to Jason. Because they'll have to do the e-chock on that.
Because right now,
for how long they're sitting there. So if somebody's abusing that and just standing there for several hours, we're going to have to pick it up.
Yeah, we got some folks that are doing like the whole day.
Right.
And it's usually affiliated with neighbors someplace, but we just got to stay on top of that because that can really be a problem.
Go ahead, Bill.
Oh, I was going to say, so will the fishing fleet come into conflict with the people going down to buy fish?
I wouldn't necessarily call it conflict. It's just a bunch of different users, you know, utilizing the same space.
Yeah, well, the fishermen come up with whatever their pots and unload the car with their duffel bags and everything. And so, you know, and there's some guy in there parking in there from Utah or Idaho. They'll know it's not a fellow fisherman, and I mean, I would assume that there still should be enough room, but I don't know. And I don't know whether or not when the Chelsea Rose and the other guys are open, whether that even conflicts with when the fishermen would be loading or unloading.
I would think not. I mean, I'm not into fishing much, but I mean, I fish, but I would think that your fishermen are going down early. They come back with the catch. They get off the boat, and then you've got your people down there who prepare the fish and get it ready for sale. And then the locals come down and buy their fish. I would think the fishermen are long gone at that point, but somebody correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, I mean, I've been down on the boardwalk, you know, let's say at 11 o'clock in the morning and 2 in the afternoon walking the dogs. And, you know, I see guys, you know, trotting down with gear and cans of grease and everything else. So,
do you want to speak to that, Aaron?
I can tell you what goes on currently, and it's not going to be much different, I think, when this comes to pass. Port Dock 3, for example, which is where Chelsea Rose is, we actually asked the city to extend that loading zone specifically to give a little bit extra room for Chelsea Rose customers. And the Chelsea Rose is very aware of who's parking there and how long they're there for, as are the other Port Dock 3 users. And I don't, what I have observed is that the fishermen who come down to talk to us and the ones that I've talked to, they're aware of people who are using it for the purpose of going down to the boats and purchasing fish. Mm-hmm. And they don't have too much of a problem with that. They're fine with that. Where they really get concerned is when you've got somebody who parks there for 8 hours or a couple hours and goes in and talks to somebody at the plant or something like that and stays there illegally, because then they're just eating up that spot for no purpose that's affiliated with the dock use. And I think the size of the loading zones, the one in front of Port Dock 5 is pretty long. And unless there's a fuel delivery going on, there's a fair amount of room in there for people to get in and out. And as far as loading, like you mentioned, pots, gear is usually loaded at the hoist dock, except there's a lot of Port Dock 7 users who load gear manually because their boats are a little bit smaller, and that's just the way they prefer to do business. But they access Port Dock 7 via port property, not by the street. Mm-hmm. So there's not a lot of boats that load a lot of gear on Port Dock 5, like fishing crab pots. A lot of that's done on port property over at the hoist dock. So I think, and to answer your question, there will be some conflicts. I don't think we're going to be able to ever avoid that, but I think it's an acceptable degree of conflict.
And it can be addressed to a degree by effective enforcement.
Yeah. I think as long as there's effective enforcement, it's probably going to go okay. People are going to see that there's a rule and that there's turnover happening there. And, you know, as long as their activity is affiliated with buying fish off the docks, they usually don't want to run people off from doing that. They recognize that that's somebody else's business.
So, Dorenda, did you have other comments on the FAQ?
I don't remember the answer to this previously, so I apologize. But we talked about how some of the locals are thinking maybe they'll just order off Amazon if they're going to have to pay to park. And so we talked about a validation system. I'm just wondering if that needs to be addressed in the FAQ or not.
I bet I could probably go with that, is that we'll be set up for that, but we're not quite in a position to flesh out the details. We got our hands full with it's almost like a phase two or round two implementation.
But it does say in this, so what's the parking plan? The last sentence says the pay stations include coin, credit card, and coupon code functionality.
Yep.
So if I'm reading that as someone who's not familiar with anything, I see that coupon code functionality as, okay, that might be for when I get validated.
Correct.
So for those of us who grew up in cities, they actually call it validation. And so.
Yeah.
Not
but
a
I don't. Code. Yeah. I don't know if you want to use the word validation yet, though, because they're not offering that yet.
Right.
But I think that on the community outreach, though, you know, it might be smart to try to say that that might be implemented in the future without,
sure.
I don't know how we do this, you know, without committing and yet give the locals hope that they're not going to have to pay and shop local and we keep them from online shopping.
You could say coupon code and or validation functionality.
Okay.
I do think to the comment, I can't see everybody on camera, so I don't know who made it. But as to the, what's the payment, what, where's the money going? I think that that is an important question that people will be asking.
Okay.
So I do think that should be addressed.
Yeah, because yeah, if we don't get out in front of it and say where it's going, they're going to make up, they're going to fill in the blank on that, and it's usually going to be like a really undesirable use.
Yep.
Yeah.
I got that. I've got that note. We'll pull out some of that other text that we talked about. I should be able to squeeze some of that in.
Yeah. That article that lady sent over, that Sherry sent out, I did read it. And that was one of the things is that, oh, the city's just trying to, you know, make their coffers bigger.
Yeah.
I think we need to work that out up front.
Okay. No, it's an excellent point. Yes.
Can I go back to the coupon code?
Yes.
Okay. I know how that works. So I go into the business down there. The first thing I'm going to do is park, and I'm going to have to pay, even though I know I'm going to go into a store and shop. So I'm not quite sure how the validation thing is going to work if I've got to pay. And if I don't pay, then I run the risk of the car coming by recognizing that I haven't paid and I'm liable to get a ticket. Because by the time I leave my car and walk up to the store, which maybe, you know, could be a 10-minute walk, and then go in and make a purchase and then get a validation code. You know, I could be away from my car half hour until I get the coupon code that I can then, you know, go to my phone and enter all that info. So I just think we need to think through how one goes about using the validation coupon code.
No, absolutely. When we get to that point.
Yeah, and my understanding also with the T2 in just a small research I did was that when you initially put the money into on the app to secure your spot, you do, at the end of it, you check out, you can check out. And if you got a revalidation code, you know, I believe you still have the option to enter it then, and then it doesn't actually charge your card for that.
That's how it's set up, Bill. I mean, and what, yeah, okay. That, you know, that's accurate. And what, you know, that may, you know, knock off a few bucks, or it may knock out the entire thing. It all depends on how we set it up in terms of, and want it to work.
Yeah. Okay. But what about those who paid with hard cash? Are they just going to get a refund?
I don't think those machines give refunds.
Nope.
That's my point. I didn't think so. Because we talked about not taking coins in the first place, remember, when we very first started talking about all this?
Right.
And then in the end, it was added that, you know, because of the population, like my mother, who would never have a cell phone, she'd want to put in coins or a dollar or something. I think she's just, even though the retailer maybe is willing to validate, I think she'd just be out her money.
I think, you know, what we'll want to do in the actual outreach, it won't be in any detail in an FAQ is emphasize that we will be looking at, we have the functionality to do, you know, coupons in a number of different ways, through validation, through just a winner coupon that's good for X, you know, number of visits or whatever, however we want to structure it. And that stuff will be explored. But the purpose here is not to exempt locals or others from these requirements. The purpose is to get better turnover. And that, you know, the people that are using these parking spaces are a mix of locals and visitors. And so locals and visitors will be paying. I just want to make it clear that aspect of it too.
Yeah, but the visitors aren't going to be reading this FAQ. This FAQ is
right.
For the people who live and work here. And unfortunately, people don't really read carefully, and they're going to not read functionality. They're going to read the pay stations include coin, credit card, and coupon code. They're not going to read functionality. So they're going to go into this at the beginning thinking we're having all of that. So I don't know how to reword it, but.
Yeah, I've jotted down a note to try to work in some tactful language on validation. Put some thought to it.
And also communication, you know, I know that our businesses will be communicating in our platform that if validation is something that comes about, that they can get validation from us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know if that's something that, you know, when they make their reservation, we send them a notice that says, okay, this is your confirmation code for validation. But who knows what it's going to look like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're trying to get the basic structure set up with T2, and
right.
Then we can swing back and add these additional elements, just kind of a layering. There's a lot that we've got to get pulled off here, so that's why we're tackling it that way.
Hey, Garrett.
Hey, Gary. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, sorry. I had a really hard time getting logged in tonight, and I have an ODF and W Media in Salem in the morning, and I'm on my way to that. So,
okay.
Anyway, I'm on here, though. It took a hard time getting it. For some reason, it just took a long, hard time for me to get in.
Okay.
So,
well,
but I'm here.
Thanks for making the time. And what we've been doing is we've just been talking through an initial draft of an FAQ that we put together. It's what you see on the screen. Are you by phone only, or are you at a computer right now, Gary?
No, I'm on my computer.
Okay. And so I've got quite a bit of feedback on this. Please, when you have a chance, take a look at it. One thing we'd already talked about, and you may not have caught it, is we'll do something a little bit different for the commercial fishermen because the program for them is slightly different than the basic, you know. And so I'll put together something that's specific for that outreach group because there's some
okay.
pieces we need to work in on that that don't make sense when I've only got a page to try to fit it in a general FAQ, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, I get it. I just need something that I can get my hands on to read, that I can, you know, digest, you know?
Derek, could you scroll down again? Do you mind could you email this to us so we can just look at it?
I absolutely will.
That would be good too, Derek, if you could email that where I can read it and
sure.
look at it. That would be good.
What kind of feedback are you getting from the fishermen?
Will be. Hey, Gary, did you want to? Can you speak to that kind of in terms of your recent conversations with other commercial fishing folks? We haven't done another round of outreach just yet. We're gearing up for
right.
it. So,
no, I mean, there's a lot of people. Everybody wants to know what's going on, and they're hearing different stuff, and they got nothing. You know, there's a lot of negativity. I'll be upfront about it, but we don't have anything they can digest. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
And people can say, okay. And, you know, I think we kind of went through this first round a couple years, you know, 3 years ago or whatever we did this.
Mm-hmm.
where, you know, there was a lot of negativity, I'll put it that way. But then after we sat down and talked to them, yeah, there was still some negativity, but we won a lot of people over. So we're kind of got to start over again. We're kind of in that same mode where, you know, it's been a little while. They hear a lot of stuff, a lot of rumors, a lot of different stuff. And I try to put as many, you know, try to knock the rumors down as much as I said, but I'm just, you know, one person. And I'm not as around the docks as much as I was because I'm not driving boats so much. But my boats are active on the port. And so when I'm not driving boats, I'm not on the dock, okay? But I see people in Shoeys and England Marine all the time. And people are, they're like, what's going on? You know what I mean? Yeah. We're kind of starting over again. And we need to educate people again, if that makes sense.
And so we're going to start doing that, Dietmar. We've kind of game planned this, recognizing we're looking at implementing in mid-October to begin to have those outreach meetings towards the end of this month and extend that into September. So it's timely.
I mean, that would be good. I think that would be good if we're doing that in October, you know, mm-hmm. September, October, you know, the fleet's slowing down a little bit, you know, the summer, fall season slowing down.
So, yeah, they'll have a chance.
I know the commission members are, mm-hmm. I've asked multiple times by port commissioners, like, where are we at? What's going on? When are you guys going to give us an update? Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron's probably hearing the same thing.
Yeah, I get the same thing. Everybody's like, I think more what I get is kind of a tongue-in-cheek question, like, hey, so what's going on with that parking? Are they ever going to get that done? There's almost like a growing skepticism that it's ever going to happen, and I have to explain, no, it was just a matter of contracting, and that's how long it took to get the contractor on board, and I got to manufacture the stuff. So the way the conversation gambits usually go is that whoever you're talking to, they will steer it in the direction of, you know, we used to have a place to park and we didn't have to pay for it. Now we're going to have meters and I'm not going to have anywhere to park. But the answer to that is no, that's not true. You're going to have a place to park. You just need to make a choice on whether this is worth it to you or not. You're just going to have to, you know, get a permit. You have a place to park. And that, I think we need to continue. And as a matter of fact, the goal of this is to create more availability for parking.
Right.
It's just you can't do that for free. You cannot, you know, just go down there and start muscling people out of parking spaces. You have to, there's a fee to it. That's just the way it works. So the idea is we're creating the more parking availability. You just got to, it's your choice. You either pay or you don't. And if you don't, you'll probably have to walk a little farther.
Well, and I'll tell you, it's interesting you brought up that point. I was in, and it's not even in Newport, I was in Toledo eating lunch today in the Timbers, and this conversation came up from the owner of the Timbers that has a lot of, you know, and we got it, and then there was a lot of other people that were sitting there, that a couple of commercial fishermen and stuff, and this conversation started rolling. So, are we getting screwed here? Or what, you know what I mean? You know, and you kind of got to kind of walk them through it. I'm not going to say you win everybody when you walk them through it, but you gain a majority that you walk through. And this was just a conversation at lunchtime in the Timbers. And there's, and Aaron's probably running the same kind of thing just today. And anyway, what I'm getting at here is there, it is on people's mind. They are thinking about it. And there's a lot of, I wouldn't call it misinformation, but I would call it wondering information. They don't really have a grasp on what's coming. I think, does that make sense to you?
No, I appreciate that, Gary. And so we're, you know, our hope here is that with this outreach we're going to be doing beginning towards the end of this month and extending into September, we'll be able to frame that for folks so they can.
Yeah.
Grasp kind of what it's likely to be and chew on it.
There's a lot of conversation I've had today and I in the last, I don't know, several days or weeks, whatever you want to call it. You know, we're trying to figure it out. We're going at this slow. We're trying to be thorough. We're trying not to screw this up because we know how important it is to the user groups on the Bayfront.
Right.
And when you tell them in that context, you seem to have you get their attention. I mean, we're not just forcing it down their throat. We're going at this slow and we're trying to figure it out and do it in the right way. And we're doing it in the fall. We can slowly roll it in to where people get a feel for it before we end in the heavy season.
Right.
And a lot of people are, yeah, that's the right way to go about it. A lot of optimism about it.
Yeah, well, give us the full off season basically to kind of work through kinks.
Yeah,
and people appreciate.
I've heard a lot of people appreciate that. So we're not just trying to jam this down and try to get a bunch of money from the tourists.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Anyway.
And there's going to be a lot of revenue generated. Is that by the streets, or what are you thinking?
Well, the revenue that's generated is going to be driven back into the Bayfront parking areas. It'll be available for a number of things we've talked about, maintenance and further improvements to parking, but also would be creating a revenue stream that can be used to help pay for enhanced transit or help subsidize vanpool, carpool programs that some of the heavy users may actually engage in if there's some cost sharing.
So you're thinking.
And what was your,
you're thinking that stays on the Bayfront?
I think that's what's been conveyed to folks is that revenues that are generated through this, outside of an offset to enforcement, which enforcement applies citywide, that these funds would be driven back into the Bayfront parking and related assets.
So there's no citywide money being used for this?
Not really at this point.
Eric?
Well, no, and I'll be going through the numbers a little bit here a little bit later.
Okay.
Hey, Derek?
Yeah.
I think it's really important that we emphasize the money we're generating is, one, to pay for it, the program, and two, that we're rolling it back in. Because I hear a lot of, and I'm sure Aaron hears the same thing, is I hear a lot of, this is the money grab from the city. And it's going to general fund.
I hear you.
So I think we need to emphasize that point.
I think so, yeah.
Because it kind of pisses people off when they think about it in those terms.
Right. And frankly, what we're using right now to freshen up the, as part of getting this launched is, a collection of funds, most of which was from the Bayfront, that was collected over decades in an old payment in lieu program. So it's kind of a one-time shot to get everything refurbished and ready, for this go live.
Right. Anyway.
I think another point that is valuable to get out to the outreach is that it's sort of like what I was saying. People are going to have a choice. And one of the choices that will be available to them is they should be able to find parking spaces easier on the Bayfront. So if they really want to park on the Bayfront, it'll be there for them. Whereas currently, it's really not there. By and large, it's there if you get there early enough and stake out a claim. But so the fees, it's not just money in the city's coffer. It has a regulatory effect. Because the dollar regulates the usage, the closer down on the Bayfront you really want to be, your choice is to, pay a little bit higher fee. And we're not talking about like killing somebody's college fund paying for parking. It's just, it moves people around and so it's a good way to do it. It's reasonable. Mm-hmm. It's one of the most reasonable ways to do it, I think.
And that's been my thing from day one. My thing is this: we cannot find any more parking, but we can manage the people to gain us more parking. And that's what we're doing here, in my mind.
And the only other way to do it would be to put up a bunch of signs and have a bunch of ordinances and just flood it with enforcement, but all that is cost, cost, cost. And this, you add some enforcement and you pay for some of that enforcement with the fees, and it's the most reasonable way to go about it, I think.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So
On the question, so what is the parking plan? The line that says electronic permits will be available for purchase online through the City of Newport website. Mm-hmm. Do you want to give any, because that's a pretty open statement that makes me believe, oh, well, I'll just apply for an electronic permit. Like, because that's not necessarily the case, is there any kind of other verbiage we need to add in there?
Well, they are there right now. What on the back, and I can add it to the front, you know, we are limiting the number of permits that are going to be available by zone.
Okay, so maybe just use that wording, a limited electronic permit.
Right, limited would probably be the right, just get that word in there. So it's that's a fair point. Thank you.
And I don't know if you're can scroll down so that we can see the map, but at least from my screen, the shading of the areas, is there a way you can use a different, the zone A, B, C, D,
yeah,
the little dashed, you can use a different
style?
Image? Yeah, different
for
style.
Different style. You know, the dots don't do it for you?
No. I mean, if it was individual little dots, but it's like a weird dash dot, and it just looks like it's not, it doesn't look right.
It looks like it's not printing right.
Yeah. But I think it's actually just the whatever that selection is. So maybe clean that up a little bit.
I'll see if I can find a different style that pops a little better. So anything else on this? Again, we'll be looking to meet with the Commercial Fishing Users Group, the Port Commission, seafood processors, bayfront businesses. Anybody else you can think of?
When is the timing on the release of this FAQ?
We hadn't said it specifically. Part of it is we'd be using it for those meetings once those meeting opportunities come up, but we will have another meeting here in this month. I was going to bring back a version 2 for that, so you can see it with the revisions, and then that's what we would use for the outreach. At least that was my plan.
Okay. My only comment on that would be, if we weren't having another meeting this month, then, you know, when it says the third week of the month, you may get a lot of people showing up the third week of this month.
Mm-hmm.
For the meeting that's not happening.
We're not having a meeting the 16th?
Yeah, we are.
No. I just didn't know if this was replacing that. That's what I'm saying.
No.
Okay.
And in fact, it looks like that's when Malloy and our new parking enforcement person is going to be able to attend, because it doesn't look like they're going to make it today. But were there any other groups that you can think of that we would need to reach out to?
Commercial Fishing User Group.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yep. That's on the list.
The Bayfront Association of Retail Businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy to host, you know, these meetings in our tent at Clearwater if you'd like to.
That'd be wonderful.
Let me know what days and times, and we'll just close it to the public and keep it only for the meeting.
How about commissioners, Aaron?
Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to say. The way that the port's hoping to be able to do this would be Commercial Fishing User Group
first,
and then they want to have a work session just for this purpose.
Got it.
With the commission. And I'd imagine a good, I don't know what your timeline looks like. You don't have dates on these, do you?
No, I was going to talk to you about getting that hammered out.
It would be good if we could do the, user group meeting sometime like early September.
Okay.
And then earlier, mid-September, and then commission meeting, September's commission meeting, I think, would be okay. I haven't talked to Paul about this yet, so.
Okay. Well, let's plan on that, and if you could talk to Paul and let me know.
Yeah.
you know, if there's any issue with that.
Yeah, I think it'd be good. Because then, otherwise, then we should be out in front of it a little bit, I think, so.
And Gary, you think the September user group meeting would be a good one, given kind of where the commercial fishing community is at, workload-wise?
Well, September is a pretty big month, but still, I think, I don't know, those user group meetings, Aaron, you know, we have a pretty good attendance on those. Even, you know, so, I mean, the people that are attending them are a lot of people like myself and the people aren't driving as much, but we're involved.
Okay.
You know, Rutherford's, different groups.
The chamber.
You think that's right about Aaron?
I was going to say, what about Rotary?
Yeah,
Rotary and the chamber.
I'll see if I can get us on the Rotary agenda.
Thanks, Toretta.
I mean, it seems to be on the user groups meetings are pretty well attended every time we have them, aren't they, Aaron?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's a really big committee to begin with. And
Right. So,
I mean, there's usually a fair number of people there. The only reason why I'm suggesting that timeline is it hopefully can get us, it keep us ahead of implementation, hopefully. That's why,
right.
You know.
Right.
And I can reach out to the chamber.
I think it should go in for the user group meeting first.
Yeah.
Before we go to the commission.
Right. Yeah, that's what the commission had asked for too.
Okay, so September user group.
I'll
double back with you, Aaron, to get the specifics. Okay. Awesome.
Good. When we invite the Bayfront businesses, we need to invite somebody from the aquarium. Because the aquarium gets lots of visitors and they've got those volunteers. And I'm sure a lot of the visitors might start peppering the volunteers over there with questions regarding the whole thing. So, you know,
okay.
I don't know the exact, you know, somebody could attend and then they can get the info out. Probably the same with Hatfield.
I can reach out to Carrie over at the aquarium and see
what her
thoughts are.
Carrie.
Right. Any other thoughts on this topic? We did it pretty good.
But I think we should move on to the update on the status of the Bayfront parking and site improvements if everybody's cool with that.
Good. All right,
let's
go ahead and stop share here and bring up a different document. Included in your packet were the plans, I'll touch on those in a minute, for the refurbishment and kind of the revised plans. But let me just bring up a document here real quick. Is that legible to everybody on the online?
Yeah. Yep, clear.
It's a little bit small here, so let me see if I can bump up this a little bit. All right, that's a little easier to read, and I'll just scan through it. Okay, so I'm going to run through kind of where we are financially with this, and in the process, I'll be going over the status of where we're at with everything, because it kind of flows off of this. Let me get this big bar off of my head. Okay. So, just so you know, this is in the city's budget, this is called Parking Study Implementation Phase 1. Which was the Bayfront Parking Management Solution. We have a separate project, a smaller project, phase 2, which will be the discussion in Nye Beach when we get to that discussion. And a much more modest amount of funding for that at this point. So this project was budgeted at $640,000 total. And that was the fiscal year 22-23 budget. Of that amount, $415,000 came out of the parking fund and $225,000 was to be an interfund loan. At that time, that interfund loan would be off of the Agate Beach landfill closure reserve that we have, which is overfunded, meaning we have more money in that than we're required to have, so we could loan off of that. We didn't execute the loan last year because we hadn't expended it. I mean, we weren't in a position where we needed to do that, and there's a lot of work that goes into setting up an interfund loan, so we didn't do it. So effectively, we had $415,000 available last fiscal year, which was fiscal years for us close at June 30th. So what we ended up expending was $112,173 as of June 30th. That includes the pay stations, which are currently sitting up at the public works shops, all 10 of them. So they're ready to be installed and programmed. And also a large number of signposts, because we've had that conversation. We're swapping out basically all of the signposts on the bayfront with new ones at the color scheme you guys recommended. I don't remember it off the top of the head, but you guys had picked one, and that's the one that we went with. And that's what they'll, it's kind of a brown black look. That's what it'll be. And then a portion of the T2 training program, because we're in the process of working with them to get everything programmed for the e-permitting and the enforcement. I included in your packet a copy of what the parking tickets are going to look like. You know, off the license plate recognition printer, you know, with the Newport logo and all of that verbiage, and then a copy of a license plate, you know, a picture actually of a license plate number, all of that would be in the ticket. I'll probably re-include that for the next meeting when Jason's here, so that if you do have questions about any of that, Jason can hear it, because he's the one who actually took the lead in working with them and getting that formatted appropriately. We've also been working with T2 on getting all of our different parking citation types loaded in, the zone designations that you saw graphically on the FAQ we just talked about. We have to load in all of the that as well, so that the system can differentiate between zones. So those are the kinds of things we're doing right now with T2. We received the license plate recognition equipment today. And so we will soon be getting that set up on the parking enforcement vehicle. Jason has that parking enforcement vehicle being refurbished at this time because it had been sitting for a while. So we'll be starting that soon. The folks who handle that piece of it on the T2 end will be actually coming out for the actual install, because they assist with that and getting the iPad set up in the vehicle and all of the cameras and all of that. They'll come out for that setup to get it all set up appropriately. We don't have a date yet set for that. So that's where we're at more or less right now. Upcoming expenses, we've got a parking lot refurbishment that went out for bid. The original bid for redoing all of the lots that we'd covered at one of the previous meetings when we went through that, those bids came in at the high 600s was the best. It was like 680,000 up to almost 900,000. So
wow, we need to buy a lottery ticket.
So we had to back that out and figure out, okay, what can we reasonably do now and what do we defer till later? And so this package that we put out addresses the lots that are along Bay Boulevard. So this will pick up Abbey, this will pick up Fall, and this picks up that gravel area over by the Hatfield pump station. So that came in at 248 as the low bid, and that's going to council on Monday. So for that, we can cover that because effectively we have still 302 2,000 available out of the 415, because again, we haven't done the interfund loan yet. So that's enough to cover the parking lot refurbishments of 248, but will require the council to appropriate those unexpended project funds for that purpose. And so that's what's going to be put in front of the council on Monday. The other things that are becoming up, we have, this is a lot of work for our public work street folks, and we were trying to figure out a way to split this up so that they could, you know, not be overwhelmed by this. And so what we ended up doing was we put out a second bid package, which includes about half of the signpost installations, a little over 60, which are going to have to occur in the hardscape areas where we have, say, existing pavement, sidewalk. That would be handled by a contractor. And then our streets crews will handle the installations in the softscape areas, so the grassy areas. It's a little easier for them to do that. So we have an engineer's estimate on that one. And this that package also includes the bases for the pay stations, the concrete bases for the pay stations. So that we're thinking is going to come in around $185,000. We will see our engineering staff's conversation with contractors seem to suggest we're going to actually beat the engineer's estimate on this one, but I'm not holding my breath. We don't seem to have a whole lot of luck, you know, with staying under some of these estimates, but that's where it's at. Per T2's contract, we have about $85,000. We still will be paying them through this year. A good chunk of that actually is the license plate recognition equipment that we just received, because I'll be invoiced for that shortly. And then for the regulatory signs, we have about 100 of them that have to be produced, and that's more than our sign shop can crank out typically, in addition to what they normally would be doing in terms of replacing signs and around the city. So we're having Newport signs do 100 of them, and that's based on the final, what we agreed upon on the regulatory program at your last meeting in terms of look and feel of the pay-to-park signs and the loading signs and that kind of thing. And so those will be delivered here pretty soon. And so when you consider what's coming up and what was expended previously, we're still just a little bit under the original budget. But we're looking at doing that interfund loan either, if Spencer's thought or city manager's thought would be either off of the general fund contingency or the Agate Beach closure, whatever makes more sense. And the concept here is this would be paid off with meter revenues over a couple of years, which wouldn't take up all of the meter revenue. It would be a portion of the meter revenue. So that's where we're at. And, you know, assuming council's comfortable moving forward with the parking lot refurbishment, we're in a position where they would be doing that work in September. We're going to do a separate outreach. We're trying not to blend that with this outreach, because there are going to be a lot of questions about, well, you know, the logistics of closing parking lots in mid-September and which ones get closed when and how that's going to be handled and, you know, what are we going to do with cars that are parked there and all of that. And so we'll do a little separate outreach with businesses specifically on the parking lot refurbishment.
When you say September, are you talking the last couple of weeks of September?
Probably mid-September. It could get pushed back, Janelle, but we really don't. If we get too late into September or early October, we might miss our window for doing this type of work, weather condition-wise, depending on what okay. we get.
And one other question.
Yeah, go
pardon
ahead.
Pardon me. I think I lost you in the explanation. Wait, you said that not all of the signposts that we were talking about putting in, like it over exceeded the estimate. So are we at some point going to put those in, or are we just gonna?
No, let me step back and clarify. Okay, we're putting all of the signposts in.
Okay.
And bases. We originally were going to have a contract services do all of it. And
right.
Our street crews would only do the regulatory sign swap outs at the right moment when we're going live.
Okay.
Now what okay, we're so doing we're is we're getting... having contractors only handle half of the installs in the tougher install locations, and our street crews will do the other half in the easier okay. install locations. And that's what we were
okay,
able to work
it.
Out.
Thank you.
Also wanted to point out, we got written authorization from PUD to go ahead and put the pay to park signs on the Shepherd's Hooks over on the
wonderful.
Boardwalk area. So that saved a few signpost installs. So good news there. So that's more or less where we're at.
So with the pay to park signs
mm-hmm.
on the signposts,
mm-hmm.
will there be a city logo, or there's a city logo on it, right? Or something, or there's just something that says, because I'm just sitting here thinking about, all right, well.
I'm pretty sure there was one on the top.
Because you know how difficult it is for people to understand the difference between the city and the port. And especially in that area, there's going to be port and city passes kind of intermingling. And so there's going to be a bunch of people that'll get aggravated because they'll get a ticket because they had the wrong pass and they won't understand it.
I'll confirm that.
We're going to definitely get our own signage up increased better so that we can be clear about port passes. What's running through my head is I'm trying to figure out a way to make it just really plainly obvious, and I haven't figured it out yet.
Okay. I'll double check. I'm fairly confident it has a city logo spot on the top, and we provided them that logo, but I haven't looked at that sign template in a little bit, so I'll double check it.
Okay.
And I'll be also scheduling a meeting with Dave Heater over at Ripley's, because he wants to coordinate a little bit on how they handle their private lot.
I think one of the things that we should probably do is really accentuate the word fisherman's parking pass for us in our lots.
Right.
Because then you avoid the whole Newport versus Port of Newport thing, and it directs their attention toward the type of pass they have. Mm-hmm. And so they'll find out.
That's so right on, because even if you called it port parking, nobody would know that wasn't for them.
Yeah. I think if I draw their attention to the type of pass, even if they get to the wrong place, they might try to get a fisherman's pass, and then they're going to be like, well, how come I can't get one? And then they'll find out they're at the wrong place.
Yeah. Is this everything on this one? Should we move to the next?
Yeah, actually, I kind of blended 4.2 and 4.4 together, Janelle, in terms of where we're at with T2 systems and the e-permitting. And since Jason's not here for the enforcement, I think we've more or less covered what we had on the agenda. And I'll just make sure to confirm with Jason that he'll be here for our next meeting, which will be actually coming up in a couple of weeks. And the 16th is still a good date for everybody, right? Which is our normal.
And so Wednesday, right?
Wednesday, I believe, yeah.
Not next double... Wednesday, but the Wednesday after.
Right. Correct, yeah.
It's on my calendar.
Yep.
Fine.
Okay.
I just wanted to share that the sea lion docks are in. So if you thought there was congestion before, lots of people are headed down to the bayfront now because the sea lions are back. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a good measure and uptick if there's a lot more parking challenges. And if people start complaining even more, we can, you know, say, hey, next year it'll be better.
Mm-hmm. Well, I did want to mention you we uploaded or sent it off to you guys, but Janet Webster had dropped off an article out of the Atlantic titled How Parking Ruined Everything. So it's in your packet. Chance to take a look at it. It's an interesting read.
Did you guys read it? What were your thoughts?
I did read it. In fact, I mentioned it earlier before.
Yeah.
The
the interesting thing is there's a conclusion about how much cities charge as a deterrent. And so I guess the question that was kind of I had in my mind is, are we charging enough per hour? Where did we get those rates, Derek?
Those were the original ones we had programmed in with the study. And, you know, that's kind of the art part of this. And so we talked about just maintaining them because it seems like we don't want to do our initial launch too high. We're trying to come in with a reasonable number. Rates can always be adjusted in the future, that kind of thing. We did do revenue calculations based off of the different time parking, the different frameworks we've put together based on the dollar per hour, just to make sure that there will be sufficient revenue coming in to, you know, help pay for the program and provide some additional resources for parking improvements, things of that nature.
Well, I don't have any problem with the current rates. I'm just wondering where they came from.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I would point out about that article is it's one thing when you're living in a big city in a metropolitan area, like where I came from, where you've got access to light rail, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas, you know, this is a little different in that this is a tourist area and people really only way they get here is by car. We don't have train and we don't have commercial plane. Right. And so they come with their cars in order for them to partake of our tourist activities and shopping and restaurants, et cetera, is they're going to have a car. And so, you know, you can kind of see both sides of what's purported in that article.
And speaking of other options, our Sally's, email that she mentioned about the bikes. I do think that the bike racks are really important to put down on the Bayfront. And I know that this isn't the bicycle committee, but because we are the parking committee and that's the way of parking your vehicle, your bike, you know, in our lot improvements, we talked about putting bike racks. Mm-hmm. And I think we should do that.
Yeah, I agree.
I had the same thought too. I think it was a good, the inclusion of the bike racks, because this article, it highlights, I mean, there's some conclusions in here that are definitely, like, they don't really follow with what we're doing. This is a really unique area anyway, because you got fishing processors and you got tourists, yada, yada, yada. But it definitely highlights all of the kind of the factors, I think, to consider. But one of them that really got me thinking was it sort of assumes that a good housing environment in the city is to have a bunch of close-in living, I challenge that assumption. I mean, where I grew up, it was a lot more planned out, and so the streets were much wider, parking was abundant. But in any case, it got me thinking about why people are so adamant about having numerous parking spaces for numerous cars, and it's got to do with their ability to freely go around about where they want to and where they go, and some people choose to do that by bicycle. And so as we're going to make it more difficult for some folks, or some folks are not going to choose to park on the Bayfront, bicycles introduce another option for people to come on down and not have to, and this is what we want. We want, you know, so we definitely should focus some attention on bicycles because it is a way for you to get around that you wouldn't have to worry about the parking problems.
Quick question. Does anyone know, is it illegal to chain your bicycle to a signpost?
I don't know. Have to check the city code.
I'm just curious because obviously that has an impact on bicycles and stuff.
Jason should be able to answer that. I don't recall seeing that.
I'm trying to put a sign, say slow down.
E-bikes are becoming
Oh, yeah.
We have several employees with e-bikes, and right now they're just carrying them up and putting them in the staff locker room. Which we need to actually put our own bike parking in, but the city, it would be nice.
And I think the more congested things get, the more people will look toward things like that.
Right.
So bike racks are definitely important, I think.
And maybe, sorry, just one more thought, you know, that there's that fake road that goes behind all of, it's behind our Clearwater parking lot, behind the gear shed shop, behind the everything. And it's a city road. It's not actually a road, but in the lot plan and whatever, it is a city road. So it's all green or it has, you know, whatever on it, but nobody can do anything with it. You know, maybe that aisle becomes bike parking.
It's behind Moe's there.
Well, I'll talk to engineering about what we might be able to squeeze in on a, at least get a couple of bike racks in with this. That's not a big cost.
I do have a comment to add. Mm-hmm. When the city will be approaching to the businesses at the very front, including the bay, the featuring the fish plants, is the city talking to the management, and the management will be in charge of talking to the workers, or are you talking?
We'll be talking to the management just to coordinate the meeting. And help use management as a conduit to getting, you know, use their meeting room and get the word out to their employees who are interested in attending.
So that it will be the job of the management to pass the word to the
workers. To the workers.
Okay.
And we found that to be pretty effective the last time we did outreach with Pack Seafood and Bornstein. They did a pretty good job of reaching out to their folks. And parking is going to be a topic of interest, so a number of them will show up. Well, it's interesting, too, because with Pacific Seafood, for example, a lot of the folks that show up are actually their year-round employees because they're the ones who drive. Pacific actually has a shuttle to Shiloh, for example, you know, for folks that are here on a seasonal basis.
I assume some of them walking
right
through the motel back and forth. That's around Europe.
Yeah, I'll have to talk to Pex. My guess is that probably was because it was off, you know, at a time where they weren't running a shuttle or something like that. I don't have anything else on this end, Janelle. Do you have anything?
Okay.
I have a quick question.
Anyone have any other?
Yeah, I was rereading the draft amendments to the NMC, and I had a couple of questions.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if we want to tackle that now or if we're going to get into that draft stuff again.
Yeah, you will. So you want to drop me an email with
sure.
those, and I can tee those up in an upcoming agenda.
Okay, I'll shoot you an email.
That'd be perfect. Thank
okay.
you.
Cool.
All right, if there's nothing else, we're adjourned. Thank you so much, everybody.
Thanks.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
The cost is coming up on Monday.